All right, one more BTS Oreo, and then we'll get started.
One more Oreo for the road. Who am I kidding? Five more.
I'm going to lick BTS's cream.
Good God. I thought I was disgusting. I'm supposed to be the pervert on this show, Jay.
Well, as Marky Mark saying, wait, no. Marky Mark's brother saying, what's in the middle of the white stuff?
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can't.
Well, you know, Jay, here on this stocking stuffer type thing, we got to do some interesting rankings.
Yep. It's about that time. It's Horror for the Holidays stocking stuffer.
Overstuffed edition.
Oh, we're stuffing it again.
Yep. This time, we're stuffed full of Freddy Krueger. Wait, I don't know.
Let's do a reference to the last thing we did, which was Triple Xmas for people who only listen to the stocking stuffers, which there are some of you, you freaks.
Absolute perverts.
But you could stuff my stocking. No, stop ad-libbing. No improvising.
Let's make our way through another one. We had another thing in mind, but
we're back, bitch. It's time for Nightmare on Elm Street.
But that didn't work. So yeah, instead we're tier ranking the Nightmare on Elm Street films.
That's right, bitch.
Now, Jeff, I assume you've seen all of them.
I have, unfortunately, seen all of them. Yes.
Is it safe to assume that you and I both have the same movie at number 9?
I mean, if you don't have 2010's A Nightmare on Elm Street as your worst movie, then I don't know what you're smoking.
Yeah, that movie fucking sucks.
You know what? Surprisingly, Jackie Earle Haley was not terrible in it.
No, he didn't do a bad job.
Everything else about the movie fucking sucks.
He looked goofy as hell.
Yep.
The micro nap thing was silly.
Yes.
I also remember just sitting there in the theater after the movie and being like, what was that? As someone who really enjoyed the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, I just remember sitting there being like, this is nothing like what Freddy Krueger is like.
The CGI version of him coming out of the fucking wall looks absolutely terrible, which is a fucking travesty considering the original one was done with like a fucking sheet of latex.
It looks so good.
In 1984 and looks amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, the whole thing is like fucking shot in a depressing gray. Everybody's like fucking mumble talking or whispering their lines the entire time. The audio mixing is terrible. And this was not a small budget movie, by the way. This is a big budget remake.
Yeah, I just, oh my God, I could not. I think my college, we did like midnight movies like once a month. This was one of them. And so like me and a bunch of friends went to go see it. Very, very excited, you know, to go see these movies or to go see this movie in particular. And I was just like left there after the movie, just flabbergasted that like, this is what they chose to do. Like they had the chance, one, that it was a remake at all, but two, that this was the direction they decided to go.
Yeah, it's wild.
And also, like, I don't know, the final scene, you know, instead of doing the cool like pulling Nancy's mom into the house through like the window and like pulling her inside, to instead do the weird mirror thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember that just looked fucking cheesy and corny as hell.
The effects in this movie are shockingly bad, Jay. Shockingly bad. It's gonna be funny if we have the same list though.
I assume that's the thing too, is not only were the effects bad, like bad and somehow, and you know, catching strays here, the It movies have worse effects than this movie does.
That is true, I will say. Surpassed only by the It remakes.
I still can't believe that those two movies have such bad CGI.
I can't believe it's beyond belief, especially after the first one did so well with its terrible CGI, that they didn't put more into the second one.
No, and instead... the giant CGI lumberjack statue that's just in our town square.
God. God is not here. He's cursed us with this movie.
All right, well, let's move on. Number eight.
What's your number eight,
Jay? My number eight is Freddy's Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street 6.
Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare is also my number eight because it's also fucking terrible.
So I had originally... I think seen the opening scene of this movie. This was maybe the first Nightmare on Elm Street thing I had ever seen. It was around Halloween time.
Yeah.
And I had stumbled across, I'm sure, a TV edit of this movie on some channel, like, you know, I don't know, when I maybe like 14. And I remember like the opening scene, the guy like getting in the airplane and then his seatbelt won't buckle or whatever. And then, like, the creepy old lady next to him, she then gets sucked out of the roof of the plane. And then he falls down and lands in the middle of Springwood or whatever, or the bus stop to Springwood.
Yeah.
And then steps out in front of the bus, and Freddy's driving the bus and hits him. I remember that clear as day. And other than the line where the guy goes, "The map says we're fucked," I have no recollection of this movie.
Yes, I have no memory of this place. Also, I want to point out that I did a special rating for each movie. A Nightmare on Elm Street 2010 got 1 out of 5 micronaps, Jay.
All right, excellent.
This... Basically, Freddy's Dead seems like someone at New Line Cinema was like, hey, what if we made Freddy Krueger, but he was more like a fucking Looney Tunes character? I mean, he fucking kills somebody with a power glove. Freddy literally yells, "Great graphics!" He's fucking riding a broomstick like a witch.
I remember that, too.
it's fucking ridiculous. I mean, I think the only one having fun in this movie is Robert Englund, it seems like.
This is also the one with Roseanne and Tom Arnold in it?
Yes. But yeah, I gave this one 1.5 out of 5 power gloves.
And did Freddy need this much added to his backstory in one movie?
No. Way too much shit going on in this movie, and most of it bad. What's your number 7?
My number 7, and this is kind of my squishy middle, but my number 7 is probably the movie I've seen the most on this list. Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, the gayest movie ever made.
See, I put the gayest movie above this one. My number 7 was A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child.
Okay. I had Dream Child a little higher, but we can talk about it.
All right. So you want me to do mine first?
Yeah, you can go ahead first.
All right. So apparently in this one, so Freddy, apparently while he's roasting in hell, he's found a legal loophole that allows him to emerge through a baby's dreams and fuck with people.
The real world, because the baby's asleep.
Yes, of course, because, you know, the baby's sleeping a lot in there, Jay. So Freddy's got pretty much carte blanche to do whatever he wants. I mean, it's kind of... I mean, there's that cool motorcycle transformation thing that happens in the movie. It was pretty much the only memorable part for me.
Is this also the one with the comic book?
Yes, it's the comic book. It's okay. There's the fucking really weird part where he does like a feeder fetish, feeding that woman till she blows up like a balloon or whatever thing. That was really weird and felt out of place. But overall, it also gives Freddy the supernatural ability to impregnate women, apparently. Also establishes that Freddy has a mom that he misses because he needs a tragic backstory, apparently. A psychotic child rapist murderer.
Let's give the child molester a tragic backstory. Yes.
And apparently, I mean, with this, he could basically appear anywhere at any time if he can fucking hop through a baby's dreams. So ultimately, I rated this one 2 out of 5 fetal loopholes.
I think I said, maybe I even said it on the last stocking stuffer. I remember sitting there watching when it would either be Halloween 6 or Nightmare on Elm Street 2 one summer, and all I did was watch those two movies. And I remember sitting there for Nightmare on Elm Street 2 being like, I mean, this is a solid Freddy Krueger movie. Is anyone else picking up that maybe this movie's a little gay?
Like, turns out, yes.
Turns out, years later, someone would come out and call this the gayest movie ever made. But like, not that I think it's a bad movie. Like I said, this is kind of the soft middle.
I think it's a bad movie because it literally throws out Freddy's fucking main thing from the first movie. He's the dream guy. And I was like, no, actually, I need to possess a teenager instead.
And then, like, come out of the inside of him.
I need to use his body to birth myself back into the real world, which is apparently a thing that Freddy needs to do all of a sudden.
To murder kids at a pool party.
Yes.
And I also have pyrokinesis powers now. Yes. In the real world.
The whole gay part of the movie is like, it calling it subtext, I think, would be a disservice. It's just text. Yeah, this movie is gay.
Yep. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And you know, that's why I gave it the rating I did, Jay. 2.5 out of 5. Inexplicable gym showers.
Man, that shower scene. Talking about the moments that stick with you in these movies.
Yeah.
The moment that sticks with me the most is the guy, like, in his tidy whities, whipping the coach that he's, like, tied to the shower.
I remember.
That's the scene that stuck with me the most.
So, yes, that was my number 6. What was your number 6?
My number 6 is Nightmare on Elm Street 4 Dream Master.
Ooh, okay.
Like I said, the kills are a lot, or, like, what I can remember, the things that, like, stick with me. I read through the synopsis of Dream Master and literally went, I don't remember a single one of these. Like... like, I know the movie, and the only thing I remembered, I think there's the Roach Motel is this scene, right?
Yes, the horrible cockroach transformation that's absolutely disgusting.
And then Freddy getting pulled apart by the people's souls.
Yep.
And as I read, I went, oh, those are that one. I would have just put them in 5.
Yep. This was my number 5, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master. I put for my tagline, Freddy discovers the power of merchandise. This is when apparently New Line Cinema was like, wow, kids really love this child rapist murderer guy. Let's make all kinds of stuff. We get Freddy Krueger lunchboxes, action figures, all kinds of shit out there.
Oh, man, no. This is this Ready for Freddy?
Yes.
Dawkins is 3. This is, I think this is Fat Boys with Ready for Freddy.
I believe so, yes.
So yeah, my number 5 is Dream Child. Like I said, I remember the kills. I remember the comic book kill. I remember the overfeeding scene.
The Dream Master got 3 out of 5 pizza toppings, Jay.
Oh, is this also the pizza? Okay.
Yes, it is.
Like I said, read through the synopsis and was like, oh, that's that one. I would have put all of those in 5. Mm-hmm. Also, like, 3 other than which we'll get to 3 when we get to it. Other than the kind of bad ending. Mm-hmm. Three was a pretty solid, like, capstone for Freddy Krueger and stuff. You kind of ended the story. And then to kill, like, the 3 final girl characters, kind of the same thing we talked about for Halloween 5. Like, to introduce these characters and then kill them all off immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, feels I thought like was all waste. Pretty stupid.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my number 5.
My number 5 was The Dream Master. My number 4 is Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Okay, my number 4 is Freddy versus Jason.
Ah, okay, so we have those flipped then.
You want to do New Nightmare?
Sure.
You want to talk about that one?
This is Wes Craven decides to do Scream before Scream.
Absolutely. And did a better job. Yes.
This is the genesis, I think, of the whole meta thing that would take over horror for some reason for a while. And apparently it asks the question, so what if Freddy's, like, actually a real guy and Hollywood's just been making increasingly stupid sequels that have been imprisoning him, and now he's free? Basically, this movie kind of surprised me when I watched it, because it was way smarter about this subject than I thought it would be, because I thought it sounded kind of stupid from the description people had told me. But Wes Craven playing himself is good. I thought that was pretty cool. Robert Englund being in it but not being Freddy Krueger is pretty cool. It's them treating it like, oh, yeah, you know, those are the movies that we make. But then she's like, oh, God, it's really happening to me. I thought it was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, you could definitely trace a lot of stuff that you'll see in Scream back to this movie.
Yeah, we'll just talk about New Nightmare here. We can do Freddy versus Jason next. That I put these three, I put this one and the two above it, because I had Freddy versus Jason just outside my top three, in what I call the John Saxon zone. One of the three movies with John Saxon in it, and you know, John Saxon's always gonna be you know, close to the top of my list.
Yeah.
And he's great in this. You know, the return of Nancy.
Yes.
Freddy looks terrifying in this movie. I think like Freddy is terrifying in the first first two Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and then is terrifying in this movie.
Yes, this is the first movie in a long time where Freddy actually feels dangerous.
But I love the coat. I love kind of the new look. I love the like Arsenio Hall special like moment where like Freddy's doing the late night talk show. I think that's fantastic.
Running just, across the freeway, that's fun.
Yeah, just just some absolute great moments in this movie. The weird like the kid having his stuffed animal protect like the bottom of his bed still terrifies me. He protects me, and like he pulls him out and Freddy's claws have slashed the dinosaur toy.
Yep.
Fucking fantastic. Love this movie.
It got 4 out of 5 Meta Freddy's for me.
So that would have been my number three. But number four was Freddy versus Jason. Your number three is Freddy versus Jason.
Indeed.
Freddy versus Jason. The first Nightmare on Elm Street movie I ever saw in theaters. I went and saw it at the old Silver Cinema, if you remember that one.
Yes, I do.
Loved this movie. I thought it was great.
This was actually, believe it or not, Jay, the first DVD that I ever bought with my own money.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes, so this holds a special place in my heart. Way better than it had any right to be, especially this late in both Freddy and Jason's careers. I mean, this is like fucking what, 2003, 2004, long after both of their primes.
Yep.
And it's a really solid movie. The only thing that really sticks out to me is Jason having a weird like weakness to water when he lives at a lake.
That was the one dumb part.
But everything other than that, pretty cool.
He lives in the lake. Why would he be scared of water?
Yes, and he's even in it at the end.
Yep. But no, loved all the kills. All the dream kills are fantastic.
Yes.
Loved Jason killing the dude like in the house right at the beginning, and then like stabs him through the mattress and then closes the mattress on him. I thought like that's a great kill.
I mean, the whole plot by Freddy to have Jason start killing people to make people think he's back to regain his power or whatever is pretty cool,
and pretending to be Jason's mom. Yeah. Just a real return to form and like a real great way to resurrect both characters.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting when we do Friday the 13th to see where this ranks on Friday the 13th lists.
I rated this one 4.5 out of 5 Hell in a Cell matches.
The big showdown at the dock is fantastic. Yes. Love and absolutely probably my favorite dream-based kill. Besides the Jason, like when Freddy has Jason in the dream world, where Jason's drowning and they're like, help him, help him. And then Freddy's fucking a corpse and he's like, I'm fucking trying. I thought that one was hilarious.
Yeah.
But the Freddy as the caterpillar in Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, yeah.
With the stoner.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's probably my favorite kill in the movie.
But yes, that I love the Freddy versus Jason fight in the dream world, and then I love Freddy's face when he realizes that he's been pulled into the real world and Jason is there.
Now, so such a good movie. Just a great return to form, great way to resurrect both characters.
Yes, amazing. Sadly, they never did anything else with it.
Yep, they hinted at it a couple times, but never really did anything else with the promise that this movie had. Number two, Jeff.
I think, you know, it's A Nightmare on Elm Street 1984.
Same. Me. Yep.
Not quite as good as my number one, but it's a solid movie. Launched a franchise. I mean, it launched New Line Cinema, which of course spawned my favorite movies, the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
The house Freddy built.
I mean, it's got the iconic rhyme. It's got the creepy girls. It has Johnny Depp. I mean, we wouldn't have had all those wonderful Pirates of the Caribbean movies without this, Jay.
We wouldn't have Ebenezer
and What's Eating Gilbert Grape and such other classics.
The Ebenezer Scrooge backstory movie, which doesn't need to exist because literally A Christmas Carol is the backstory for Ebenezer Scrooge.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Okay, you're selling me on getting rid of this movie.
But no, it everything that is Freddy Krueger is this movie. Like maybe with the exception of the quips. Yeah. He's not as quippy, but yeah. Like everything else that is Freddy Krueger is in this movie. And one of my favorite things that it does too is like they do a good job of really obscuring Freddy until the end. Like you kind of, you get glimpses of him, but you don't really know exactly what he looks like until towards the end of the movie. And that's always a great way to build a villain.
Yes. The worst part of the movie, I think, is the stupid sequel bait at the end that didn't need to happen.
Yep. And then, yeah, kind of gets retconned anyway.
Yeah.
I will say also, my headcanon is that after failing to save all the girls at the house in Black Christmas, John Saxon moved.
Moved to Springwood.
Sheriff Officer John Saxon moved to Springwood. And he's like, never again. And then it happened again.
Oof. This one, I gave this one 4.5 out of 5 boiler rooms.
Yeah, number one is...
That's a creepy-ass boiler room, by the way.
Number one is the greatest Nightmare on Elm Street movie. It's Dream Warriors.
Welcome to primetime, bitch!
Dream Warriors! The Dawkins soundtrack. Oh, so good. What a fantastic movie.
This is the Freddy that everybody imagines when you hear Freddy and wouldn't come back again until basically Freddy versus Jason, unfortunately.
This has the wisecracking Freddy. This has the brutal Freddy.
The scary Freddy.
The scary Freddy. This has the rhyme. It has Nancy. It has the heavy focus on dreams.
We got Lawrence Fishburne.
You got Lawrence Fishburne in there. Just a great movie.
I mean, when he turns, what's his name? Philip, into the marionette. That is a fucking creepy ass scene.
That was one of those scenes that, like, you know, I've talked about, like, you're talking to friends about horror movies that, like, they've partially seen, like,
yeah.
I had friends that would be like, oh yeah, and then Freddy, like, cuts out a dude's veins and walks him like a puppet, and like,
yeah.
And it was one of those that, like, I hadn't seen the movie yet, but that was the thing that, like, everyone remembered.
I mean, it's got one of my favorite things, stop motion skeletons.
And yeah, you got drunk John Saxon trying to stop Freddy.
Gotta stop him.
I'm so drunk.
Hand me that bottle.
Like, the only issue with Dream Warriors is the killing Nancy. That's the only issue with the whole movie. I know Nightmare on Elm Street fans that literally turn the movie off right before she dies. Oh man, perfect movie. No issues.
5 out of 5 welcomes to prime times, bitch.
Argue next to the rhyme, probably Freddy's most iconic line.
Yes.
Yeah.
When people think of Freddy Krueger, they're thinking of the Freddy from Dream Warriors.
The vein kill is fantastic. Also, yeah. the girl, and he injects her with the needle hands. That's a great kill too. Yep. Also, thing that stuck with me for that movie in particular, where I had seen like part of the movie. But hadn't gotten around to watching the whole thing early on when they're talking about like all the kids that are suffering with dream problems. And they're like, oh yeah, one girl cut her eyelids off. Ooh. I thought about that line and I'm like, that's terrible. Like, why would you do that? Like, what a terrible thing to do. How do you fix that? Like,
you don't.
Like, that was one of the things that I just sat there after hearing that line for years. And I'm just like, what? Do you think they show it? Do you think they, until I finally saw the movie, do you think they show that part?
Yep.
Terrifying. Yeah, I was surprised how close our rankings were.
Yes, we were basically just one off for a lot of these.
But yeah, and overall, especially the top end, all really, really good movies.
Got some really good, we have some low, honestly, I think, versus the only other franchise we've ranked so far, Halloween, we have some lower lows probably, but some higher highs, I think.
I agree. Really, I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed just getting a chance to rethink about all these movies.
Yes. This is a good series.
Yeah. If for whatever reason you're listening to our dumb podcast and you haven't watched all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, or if you haven't watched them lately, go back and watch them again. They're all great.
Most definitely.
Check them out. Except maybe the remake. Don't watch that.
No reason to watch Nightmare on Elm Street 2010, though.
But yeah, otherwise,
It's kind of like Rob Zombie's Halloweens. You can skip them.
I don't know what else to say other than if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at Horror for Holidays. That's horror, the number four holidays.
Hey, audience. I take off your bra. Bitch! Anyway, youtube.com/horrorfortheholidays for all of your Horror for the Holidays audio backup needs. Hit us up on all the podcatchers. We're on all of them. Seems like Apple Podcasts is the most popular one we have, but also we got some Spotify people. Leave us 5-star reviews because those are the only ones we're going to read. Title it 0 stars if I could. And you can add 0 stars if I could, bitch, if you want to specifically review this episode. Let us know what you think. We're only going to read the 5-star ones, so don't bother leaving anything else. I mean, I'm sure Jay would love to hear your rankings of these movies.
Absolutely, yeah. Send us an email. Let us know your ranking of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
I, on the other hand, don't want to know, so don't tell me.
Yeah, we're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network.
If we still are.
If we still are. Well, that remains to be seen after our Triple Xmas episode. Yeah. But if we are, we're proud to be there. And heck, I mean, I'm sure Freddy Krueger's kind of Christmas related. He wears that Christmas sweater.
It's true, he does.
So, you know what? We're staying on brand for this episode.
We're on brand. What is our brand? No one knows.
But yeah, check him out. Go give all those podcasts over there a listen. Jeff, next week. While conducting a pagan ritual in the woods with her friends.
Fuck yeah.
Kirsten inadvertently awakens the spirit of a demonic Christmas elf involved in a neo-Nazi plot to bring about the master race, and the Rent-A-Santa in her department store is murdered. An unemployed alcoholic ex-cop takes the job, and the two set out to unravel the mystery. Elves.
Fuck.
1989.
Yes, yes, and yes.
That's our next episode. So we'll see you next week when we talk about elves.
Indeed we will.
Thanks for listening.
Hey, audience. I take off your bra.
Welcome to prime time, bitch.
Yes, indeed.